Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the Ngaytun School, I would like to welcome Kembo Chöltrim Gyamso Rinpoche. We're very honored to have you here this evening, and in particular, to inaugurate this year's course of study for our Ngaytun School. I thought it might be helpful for those of you who have not met Rinpoche before to provide a very brief introduction. Kembo Rinpoche, upon leaving Tibet, continued his studies of Kenpo training, finishing these in northern India. He also spent quite a number of years in Bhutan and currently is still the abbot of a monastery there, actually a nunnery. During all of this time, Kembo Rinpoche has spent quite a number of years engaged in the practice of meditation, in particular throughout many charnel grounds and various famous caves, as we've heard some stories about. Perhaps this is somewhat unusual in the combination of training that Rinpoche has gone through in such extensive meditation training combined with a very scholarly pursuit in the Kenpo training. In 1976, His Holiness Karmapa asked Rinpoche to travel to Europe to reside there and be his prime teacher for the Western Sanghas that were formed in the various European countries. And since that time, over the last 10 years, Rinpoche has traveled in Europe extensively, in fact, not actually calling any particular place his home, but rather has traveled from one center to another continuously over all of these 10 years, and has been teaching primarily to Western students during that time. Before His Holiness's death, he asked Kembo Rinpoche, along with Trungpa Rinpoche, to be the head teachers, the abbots, of the Shedra at Rumtek, which is the college for higher learning there, the Nalanda Institute, as it's called. And so for the last number of years, Kembo Rinpoche and Trungpa Rinpoche have alternated as the chief instructors there, spending a portion of the year there alternately. This fall, Rinpoche will be initiating an institute, the Marpa Institute of Translation, in Kathmandu, Nepal, where perhaps we could say for the first time there will be one place for many of his students to congregate. So with that as a brief introduction, again, I'd like to welcome Rinpoche here and very much on behalf of all of us request you to teach us this weekend. Thank you.
Tang idong he de tanda gegin namba tso da lo brava namba tso tam je la taki de libas.
So Rinpoche wishes both the students of the Ngaytun School and all the teachers welcome.
Kanjin
So Rinpoche asks everyone to begin by arousing bodhicitta, the awakening mind, which is the wish and effort done in order to attain complete Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings, in number vast as space. Towards that end, one then resolves to strive or make an effort with respect to listening to the Dharma, reflect and meditate on it. Conditioned existence or the three realms. Since conditioned existence or the three realms are nothing but an expression of or a manifestation of the confused mind, since conditioned existence or the three realms are then nothing but mental imputations, for these reasons or for that reason, one then is able to free oneself from suffering experienced in samsara or cyclic existence. So in dependence upon such knowledge, one then proceeds to Buddhahood, one attains Buddhahood.
This is na trupa nama tamche trupa sem trupa jama bhakya tan jeba sepa kapsatili san jeba.
So when all confusion has been eliminated along with predispositions or habitual tendencies, at that point one has attained Buddhahood. Then if conditioned existence, the three realms or samsara, is nothing but the manifestation of a confused mind, then one may wonder what is the true nature or the actual nature of samsara. The answer to that is that the true nature of samsara is peace. Shiva Tamil, right?
Then ta korbe korbe na chorten do nam korbe na chorte do nga dang ne chorke bare.
So
kebare chenne.
There are two aspects with respect to samsara or cyclic existence: the way in which samsara manifests or appears, and its true nature. As to the first aspect, that then is related to suffering. The second aspect is then related to pacification of suffering.
Tumba sanje ji chungko rinpa som kovar zepi nani tine kolo parpa kapso nan sor juma milan tabatan tine ne sor te dupa tan kevar ten dupa tan ki kevar zon.
So the Buddha turned the wheel of the Dharma three times. In terms of the second turning, he taught that relative phenomena, that is, phenomena related to the way in which samsara appears or manifests, are illusion-like and dreamlike. Ultimately, or with respect to the second aspect, namely the true nature of samsara, there is absence of mental fabrications. There is only a state of simplicity.
This and that, korven ne chol chupa tamche nyebari hebe tuun te, mwen som to to na, tene na chol la denbari hebe chupa te hebe tuun.
So if the second aspect is realized, namely a state free from all mental fabrications, a state in which all mental fabrications have been pacified, if there is direct realization of that state, then in dependence upon such realization, the conceptualization of samsara or cyclic existence and all deceptive or relative phenomena, conceptualization of these as real and solid will have been pacified. If there is no realization, as the one mentioned, namely a direct realization of the true nature of samsara or cyclic existence, which in this context relates to a state free from all mental fabrications. If there is no such realization, there is no possibility whatsoever to reverse the tendency one has to conceptualize samsara as real and solid, the apprehension of samsara or deceptive phenomena, relative phenomena, as real and solid.
Dina nansor tela koloparpe gumba yiga sena nansor te kunzob dembare, nesor te tontambe dembare.
In terms of the second turning, then these two aspects, namely the way in which samsara manifests and its true nature, are then respectively related to the relative or deceptive truth and the ultimate truth.
Tene kolo parpa gundung deva la tene chodo churpa zoba sanje je long temba chodo churpa tene gombo zorobre.
In terms of elucidating the teachings given during the second turning, Nagarjuna was or is the most supreme one. He was prophesied the coming of Nagarjuna. The Buddha himself prophesied the coming of Nagarjuna.
Then Gombo Lodro Sanje Je Ye Paran Zimba Tam Me Paran Zimba La Sobe Nam Do Ge Trupa Tam Je Jekpa Jekpa Sepa Por Long Tempare.
So, as was said, the Buddha himself prophesied the coming of Nagarjuna as the one who would elucidate the teachings given during the second Dharma Chakra. The Buddha said in his prophecy that Nagarjuna would be the one that destroyed, reversed all mental elaborations or fabrications, such as clinging to eternalism or nihilism, clinging to existence or
non-existence.
So just as the Buddha had prophesied, Nagarjuna elucidated the teachings given during the second Dharma Chakra. He composed many commentaries. One of them is in Tibetan called Tsavashirap, and many others. The Buddha, during the second Dharma Chakra, then extensively taught that all phenomena are empty of true existence. He extensively taught or gave the teachings on the emptiness of all phenomena, which or these teachings were then later on, their validity was later on established by Nagarjuna. Generally speaking, in terms of the text Rinpoche mentioned, composed by Nagarjuna, Tsavashirab, this text has then been commented upon by many different scholars. So from among Kong Dang Pure Village. Delva Chipapu Dangpo Revela.
Dangbo ni book is here, so Sanjay Jang Buddha Pal.
So from among the ones that commented upon Tsavashirab, Rinpoche mentions Buddha Palita, Sangje Kyang in Tibetan.
Dene Tela Lopon Ligdin Jije, Dene Oma Tsavashirab Landeva, Shirabhume Hisavachin Zede, Lopon Sanjay Jang Gagwajan.
Then Baba Viveka, Legden Jay in Tibetan, criticized the commentary written by Buddha Palita. He then himself wrote a commentary called Shirab Drenme, The Light of Superior Knowledge or Wisdom, in which he criticized Buddha Palita's commentary.
Tene te jiso paten dava trape, tene tava shirab jendeva, tanda tuon jendeva, umalan jokwan zete, tene lopon ligdin jiji sanje changla,
Then, thirdly, Chandrakirti wrote another commentary on Tsavashirab. It commented upon the meaning of the teachings given in Tsavashirab. That is then the text Umala Jukpa, the Majjhimaka Avatara, in which he refuted Baba Viveka's criticism of Buddha Palita's teachings. So in that text, Chandrakirti then mentions or criticizes the text written by Baba Viveka or the commentary written by Baba Viveka. So as was mentioned, the Majjhimaka Avatara composed by Chandrakirti comments upon the meaning of the teachings given in
Tsavashirab.
Then, as was mentioned, there is this treatise by Chandrakirti called the Majjhimaka Avatara, which comments upon the meaning of the teachings given by Nagarjuna in his Tsavashirab. So the teachings given by Nagarjuna in his Tsavashirab, Chandrakirti takes these teachings as the basis for his commentary. Then there is a sutra called the Dasha Bhumi Sutra, the Pakpasa Chupedo, in which the 10 bhumis are related to the 10 paramitas, and this approach Chandrakirti uses in his Madhyamaka Avatara. The Madhyamaka Avatara consists of 10 chapters. 9 of these chapters are not very difficult to understand, but one of them, number 6, is quite difficult to understand. Rinpoche mentions that there exists an English translation of that chapter, so Rinpoche thinks that by reading this chapter, the teachings might be clear to you.
Tene semji tropate papa sa chopale jarve se ta sancho samba sa nga pala lam hindu job sancho sambate sancho sembe sa tropale yogte chunyabani chunjoko chopo kankhena data te hiso.
So, as was said, the Madhyamaka Avatara is then related to the Dashabhumi Sutra, in which the Buddha says the following, addressing his followers or disciples: sons of the victorious one, a bodhisattva who has fully completed the path of the fifth bhumi, enters the sixth bodhisattva bhumi, by way of the 10 samenesses that are related to all phenomena. What are these 10 samenesses?
Tena sancho samba sa nga papa te jitop to tene ta sunam je cho zo goya yore te sunam je cho yung so zo sempe jiso tene nyamba ni chui goni sa toko la jubare.
So a bodhisattva on the fifth bhumi, on the fifth level, then needs to accumulate merit in the post-meditative phase. When that accumulation of merit has been perfected, then that bodhisattva enters the sixth bhumi. So then the sutra enumerates the 10 samenesses. The first is then the fact that all phenomena are empty of the designations attributed to them.
Sema seju de kararasanan dene zangbo, dene ngembao, dene drao, dene nyo, sambateso tamjela.
So that's related to a process of discerning or discriminating phenomena in terms of whether one feels or thinks that a certain thing is attractive or repulsive, good, bad, or whether someone is an enemy or a friend, and so forth. So in terms of these objects to which certain in terms of these objects that then are conceptualized, that one gives certain attributes, so to speak, for the conceptual mind, it seems that, for example, an object which one has discerned to be an attractive one or a repulsive one really or truly is attractive or repulsive. So, as was said, there is this process of discerning or discriminating, at which point one then gives, so to speak, or conceptualizes phenomena in a certain way. One conceives of them as either repulsive or attractive. As was said, then that is a conceptual process. In terms of the essential nature of that object, or in terms of the essential nature of these objects, no such differences are applicable. If one then dreams of, for example, something that is filthy and something that is clean, then one obviously at that stage or at that point has conceived of the things dreamt of as filthy and clean respectively, and it seems to the conceptual mind that the things that one dreams of are respectively filthy and clean. Though if one considers the essential nature of what one dreams of, the objects that one conceptualizes as either filthy or clean, then there are no such differences. So one may dream that one falls into a dirty swamp. The filth then enters one's nose, one's mouth. One becomes nauseated and throws up. Then finally, one is able to get out of the swamp, and one dreams that one washes oneself with clean water and washes away all the filth and mud with which one was covered. It's possible that one would have such a dream. So in terms of the conceptual mind, then for the conceptual mind, it seems as if though the filth is truly existent, and it seems that the clean water with which one washes away the filth is truly existent, and the perfume which one sprays oneself with afterwards, it seems to the conceptual mind that this perfume as well is truly existent. So these differences then come about independent upon the conceptual mind. These differences are then mental imputations. They are created by the conceptual mind. If one considers the objects from the point of view of their essential nature, there are no differences. Similarly, all phenomena then are empty of the designations attributed to them.
No.
So pain and pleasure, samsara and nirvana are equal or sameness, equality or sameness. From the viewpoint of their essential nature or their essence, there are no differences. One should mainly relate this teaching then to the analogy of a dream. Then there is sameness in relation to that all phenomena lack characteristics, they are empty of a nature or characteristics. So in that respect, all phenomena are same or sameness.
단 신이 세계도 가르쳐서나 쭉 간대지 이나 디 내처럼 뭐만든 신이래. 대라 맹기다 예바 대라 천사세 봐. 대네 신이 단 천사니 이제 대바 드베티 세다 빠지는 생기세 그래. 신통 예선.
In relation to this point, Rinpoche mentions three aspects that are related to each and every phenomenon. It's there are first then the characteristics of a given phenomenon, which in this context refers to the nature of something. For example, the nature of fire is hot and burning. Then there is the definiendum, that is to say, this nature which is perceived is then conceptualized, is given a name or labeled. Then there is the basis for connecting these two, which one may term the supporting example. In terms of fire, then one would mention a specific instance, for example, sandalwood fire.
Pena na hige na ban nam hige yor de jor bate tenye de rangye de tenye de de la dra se ne min da ye bate dra de chen sa de den chen ye de kar sa na da da se la mo de ke ja so ha o de so de
so there are these three aspects one could say the definition of something or the characteristics of something, the nature of something, then the definiendum, then there is the supporting example or the basis for the attribution of characteristics. Then if one considers that which is perceived by an ear consciousness, the object of an ear consciousness is then the first aspect related to nature or characteristics. Then one conceptualizes what is heard and calls it a sound. One gives it the name sound. That is then the second aspect. Then there is the third aspect, the basis which connects these two, that in terms of, or in this context, would for example be could for example be the sound of a car just as we heard previously
de yin da ta xie zhe chu gan de jin nan chen yin chen zhan chen ge zuo mi ba le chen zhong ye suo mi cha ba ham chen zhong ye suo ye ba le de ye be jun qin de ka re se nan nan do ge zuo mi da
so in terms of all phenomena there are these three aspects literally characteristics, that which is characterized, and the basis for the characterization, which could be termed definition, definiendum, and supporting example. All phenomena, all knowable entities or objects of knowledge are then embraced by or pervaded by these three aspects. These three aspects then are created by or occur in dependence upon the conceptual mind.
So
the second point here in relation to sameness is that all phenomena are same in that they are empty of characteristics or a nature. On a relative level or a deceptive level, there is this nature of phenomena. Each and every phenomenon has a specific nature, has specific characteristics. This nature or these characteristics are then ultimately empty of true existence, empty of a self-essence or a self-entity.
Benna.
타신 스파티 메이랑 예 메인 진이리 레겐 셔바티 추인 진이리 데 니가 랑긴 오우 마로 바냐바니리 모 마로 발레 체바메 바냐바니리
So, as was said, the natural characteristics of fire is hot and burning. Of water, it is wet and all wetness. Then, as was said, there are these characteristics or specific nature of each and every phenomenon on a relative or deceptive level. Ultimately, these phenomena are empty of these characteristics. These characteristics or these natures are empty of themselves or in themselves. So from that point of view, all phenomena are sameness or equality. Due to ignorance, beings wander in samsara or cyclic existence. They wander in conditioned existence, the three realms, that which is then samsara. The Marikpa rang de korvetseni nam dungan de.
Marikpa latente.
Lare.
Marikpa latente, kamsom korvan korva.
Lare. Tene korvetseni dungan de sunsunga.
Marema. Marikpa latente, kamsom korva.
Lare.
Sepa kamsom ha kosong.
No.
Tene chik de chik chik ni chik dung korva de korvetseni rova.
Lare.
Marikpa sepe korvet dungan le trova de nyan de chen seni rova. Nika rang ngo ma do banya banya.
So, due to ignorance, beings wander within samsara, within conditioned existence, the three realms. The marikpa sene, marive.
Marikpa sepa te nyade
marive. Then
marikpa sepe dunga sepa nyade rava.
Having exhausted. Or terminated or eliminated ignorance, then in dependence upon that, nirvana is attained. One passes beyond samsara. One passes beyond suffering experienced within samsara. That is then the characteristics or nature of nirvana, namely that one has exhausted ignorance and therefore passed beyond suffering. Both samsara and nirvana are then have these characteristics mentioned. These characteristics themselves are empty of themselves or empty of a self nature or a self entity. So, in relation to this lack of characteristics or nature, both samsara and nirvana are sameness. Then there are feelings such as pain and pleasure. These feelings have specific characteristics, have a certain nature. Ultimately, both pain and pleasure are empty of truly existent characteristics or a truly existent nature. So in that respect, they are sameness or equality.
One
may dream of of something hot and burning or of these characteristics, this nature, hot and burning, and the opposite, namely something very cold, a cold temperature. For the conceptual mind, then, when these are dreamt of, these two different natures, hot and cold, seem to be truly existent, seem to have external existence, though if one considers these from the point of view of their essential nature, these natures or characteristics are not true in themselves, so from that point of view, hot and cold are sameness or equality. Then there is sameness in relation to the third point, which is that phenomena are unborn. So on a deceptive or relative level, it seems as if though phenomena are born into existence, arise or come into existence, ultimately, though, they have never come into existence, they have never been born. So Nagarjuna in his Tsavashirap and Chandrakirti in his Majjhamaka Avatara, both of these masters then speaks of that or teaches that phenomena are unborn, that phenomena have never been truly born or have never truly arisen. So that is then the third point in relation to the ten aspects of sameness. These teachers then emphasized this third aspect, since in their opinion, a realization of the unbornness of phenomena would facilitate a realization of the other nine points in relation to sameness. So in their view, or from their point of view, then the most easy point to realize in relation to sameness is this third one. So, if outer and inner phenomena are born, truly arise or are truly produced, it follows that they have to arise from or be produced from any of the four alternatives or extremes mentioned, namely from self, other, a combination of these, or from no cause at all. But since phenomena have not arisen from or have not been produced by any of these four extremes, they have not truly arisen, they are unborn. So in the Majjhamaka Avatara, then Chandrakirti refutes or negates production from any of the four extremes mentioned and establishes that phenomena have never truly arisen, that phenomena are unborn. So Rinpoche will then later on explain this part from the Majjhamaka Avatara, where Chandrakirti refutes or negates production from any of the four extremes mentioned. So since phenomena have not arisen from any of the four extremes mentioned, then phenomena for that reason are unborn, and in that respect they are sameness. All phenomena are same in that they are unborn. And pleasure are sameness in that they are unborn, in that they have never truly arisen. Samsara and Nirvana are the same in that they have never truly arisen. So there isn't a single phenomenon which is not unborn. So in that respect, then all phenomena are the same or sameness. So one may dream of a variety of things. It then seems to the conceptual mind that the variety of things dreamt of, all these various things do arise. All these various things, so to speak, have birth, come into existence. But as was said, that's just for the conceptual mind. Ultimately, this variety of things dreamt of are the same in that all these phenomena or all these things are unborn, have never truly arisen. Similarly, all the five sense objects that we experience in the waking state are the same in that ultimately they are unborn. Similarly, the objects of the eight worldly dharmas are also ultimately the same in that they have never truly arisen. So Shantideva in his Bodhicharya Avatara in the ninth chapter on wisdom has extensively explained the sameness of the objects of the eight worldly dharmas or the eight worldly dharmas themselves that are objects of the conceptual mind. He then in that chapter has established that all these objects, all the eight worldly dharmas are ultimately sameness. So anything that is related to the eight worldly dharmas, then ultimately, well, all the different things that then are related to the eight worldly dharmas are then ultimately sameness, in that all of them are unborn, have never truly arisen. So Shantideva then says that gain and loss cannot be established or related to phenomena, since all phenomena are empty. Since phenomena are emptiness, what is there to lose? What is there to gain? So, so therefore, all phenomena are dreamlike. So if one understands or realizes that the eight worldly dharmas themselves are empty of true existence, independence upon such realization, one is then able to pacify the conceptual mind, or the mind then which conceptualizes these eight worldly dharmas as real and solid. Tene namdo gi shenpa di douma thokna?
Chubji gi namdo gi yode denbar maruba to chi na namdo pang thukures. Te manchi na namdo pa chubji gi namdo pang thukures.
If, on the other hand, one is not able to understand or realize that the eight worldly dharmas are empty of true existence, then there is no way or there is no means by which one is able to pacify the conceptual mind or pacify the concepts then that occur or arise in relation to these eight worldly dharmas. If one has no concepts of the eight worldly dharmas, then wherever one goes, wherever one are, it makes no difference. In all places and in all situations, one will be happy and at ease. So Rinpoche says he doesn't know how these relate to animals, but he knows that the fact that people are unhappy and depressed comes from that they conceptualize or that they conceptualize the eight worldly dharmas or conceive of the eight worldly dharmas as real and solid. From such conceptualization or independence upon that conceptual mind, then unhappiness and so forth arise.
The malare pe simu petang ji la song ye ro ba chuje pang na chi pe ni ma shar song re
chi pe ni ma shar
chi chuje pang na chi pe ni ma shar chi pe ni ma shar.
So Milarepa once said to his sister Petagonki that having given up the or abandoned the eight worldly dharmas, then the sun of happiness arose or shines. Once one has abandoned the eight worldly dharmas, then the sun of happiness will shine. So in terms of abandoning or giving up the eight worldly dharmas, the point is to be able to eliminate the concepts one has in relation to these objects. It is the conceptual mind that is to be given up. There is no question about giving up external objects. So the third point was, as we saw, that all phenomena are the same in that they are unborn. Then there is the fourth point in relation to sameness, which then emphasizes that third point, stating that all phenomena are the same in that they have never truly arisen, they have never been born. So it, so to speak, that fourth point, so to speak, emphasizes or clarifies the third point, which is more of a general statement. So in relation to this fourth point, then all phenomena that has arisen or come into existence on a deceptive or relative level ultimately never have arisen, never have come into existence. So one may dream that smoke rises from fire, smoke is produced by fire. One may dream that a sprout is produced from a seed. One may dream that water is produced from ice and so forth. All these things are then, or the production of these various things are only true for the conceptual mind. ultimately dandam
don tambar ma ji pa don tambar cheva me ba re cheva me ba nyam ba re ta ganga
ultimately there is not a single of these things mentioned that have been produced that have come into existence
de yin do de ne nan jo jo wa so ma la re pe tan da re chong pa la de ne chang ma ja da pa ja 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 ama che le pa che che de ne re be chang ma ja pa ja jo ba de ro tin do ba
There is then one of the stories from the biography of Milarepa. There is then a story at which or about how then Milarepa tries to reverse the wrong views Richungpa has. And at that point, in order to be able to do so, Milarepa emanates 100 wild asses.
Ama gupju korko le re re. Ama gupju korko le po gupju korko je vare. Ina ya ya re.
So Milarepa starts out emanating one wild ass, which from this then this wild ass then emanates another one and so forth. So when one considers this event logically, there is in fact 99 mothers and 99 children.
Karasana ama tangbo tela ama mevari do.
Yeah. So
po thama tela po mevari do.
Yeah. Teni gupchu gorje marve.
Ta teni lab de. Chira cheba ye mare.
La so. Well, 99 or 98, whatever. whichever. Then the first wild ass then didn't have a mother, and the last wild ass emanated won't have a child. What do you call the child of a wild ass?
Re.
Huh?
Re. Te tab chi na ya tene kang. Re. Ama tangpo tele po machi pare te jindo kanga machi pa nyamba nyeri ta. Machi pa la cheba me vare.
So when one considers the first wild ass emanated, this one was the first or original one and didn't have a parent or mother. So in that respect it was unborn. Similarly, all phenomena are unborn.
Theater mala repe central temba dia nam to cheva me par ngote pe dangan da we bari
so this event then or by emanating these wild asses in fact Milarepa pointed out to Richungpa that concepts or discursive thoughts are unborn
tanta ta da sena teni Koya maji pare nyangin le deba yang maji pare kowa da nyangin le deba nika maji pare nyambare
so we can then see that both samsara and nirvana are unborn and from that point of view they are the same or sameness
ta nyamni ngapate chu tamje wenbar nyambare
Then there is the fifth point in relation to sameness, which then states, or at which point it is stated in the sutra, that all phenomena are the same in that they are peace, in that they ultimately are peace. So all phenomena are peace, since they are empty of conceptual fabrications. All phenomena are peace, since they, so to speak, ultimately are isolated from mental fabrications.
Mm-hmm.
Then if one, for example, dreams of a snake, this snake appears as real and solid for or to the conceptual mind. Ultimately, on the other hand, the dream snake has no true existence. It is beyond all mental fabrications or all extremes, such as existence, non-existence, a combination of these two or something other than these two possibilities. If the case was that the snake were non-existent, that non-existence has to be posited in dependence upon existence.
Tapi tejin tu tanda ngaco zukda terus nama de nama tu ke dembar kembar emato tuh tambar yeba da meba da ni ka da ni min kang tu yang mana ba kang tu yang jom tu pe tni hewa da wembar.
Similarly, the five sense objects appear as though being real and solid to the conceptual mind, though ultimately the five sense objects as well are peace, are then isolated from the extremes of existence, non-existence, a combination of both, or another possibility other than the ones mentioned.
This is a true time that you need to look at the way in the center.
So as was said, the true nature of all phenomena is this peace, is the fact that they are isolated from mental fabrications, that ultimately phenomena are beyond mental fabrications. If this is realized, then one will come to experience a state of peace, of happiness, a state in which there are no mental fabrications, a state which then, in fact, is the absence of mental fabrications. So similarly, pain and pleasure are the same in that ultimately they are peace, ultimately they are, so to speak, isolated from mental fabrications. Nirvana is peace. Samsara is also peace from the point of view of its essence or essential nature. So from that point of view, or in that respect, both samsara and nirvana are the same ultimately, in that they are peace from the point of view of their essence or essential nature.
Tandi wenpa denga so ko dawo dewon raje sena sacha wenme min tawo jile jana sa sa wenpa sa sacha
So this point then in relation to the dream would be maybe as follows. One may dream of a very isolated place that is very quiet. There are no distractions in this isolated place. And then one may dream of New York City, which is not at all a quiet and isolated place. There are traffic jams and so forth. It's a very noisy place. Then from the viewpoint of the essence or essential nature of both, they are the same in that ultimately both are peace, both are beyond mental fabrications, or so to speak, isolated from mental fabrications. So this fourth point, namely that ultimately phenomena are the same in that they are peace, is just as in the dream, all phenomena are the same in that they ultimately are peace. Then there is the sixth point in relation to sameness, and the sutra states that all phenomena are the same in that they are primordially pure.
Karasana tanda kovayang doimani takvare nyangilin deyabayang doimani tangbo ne takvare.
So both samsara and nirvana are primordially pure.
Dhamma. Dikapso dhamma ni tapa, tangbo ni tapa, kan ni tapa, yin ni tapa. Sejitaso tsengmadao mangbo tsu chikware.
Yeah, there are many different terms in Tibetan for primordially pure, pure from the beginning, initially pure, and so forth. The meaning of all these terms is then the same.
Pena malanto na tu matang sama da matang ba na zo ba ji na malantang ni yang mo de tang bu ni ma da ba zan ni yo ma la ba de de ji guan de wo.
So one may dream of a variety of things. Some may be filthy, be conceived of as filthy. Some may be conceived of as clean, as pure. If one then considers the essence or essential nature of this variety of things dreamt of, all of them are then primordially pure. From the point of view of their essence, there is primordial purity. So in that, all the different things dreamt of are the same or equal.
Tambo ni tapa te jui lama lea mambu ke yore te sakin zokin te sola tambo ni tapa ka ni tapa te keba mambu yore.
So this point, primordial purity, initial purity, pure from the beginning, has been explained in the Uttara Tantra Shastra and is also explained both in the Mahamudra and Mahaati systems.
Keba do sanga ga lo la tapa ramjan te ke de nyamni kyo yin nan yin de
In particular, in terms of the secret Mantrayana, there are the teachings on universal or inherent purity that then are related to this point, the sixth point of primordial purity.
Rang Nesa, the Rangla Tapa in Baji.
Tupsa Dapo,
Rang de Salatapa, the Majesty. De Salatapa. Pena de Mog de Koran de Manitapa, de Salatapa, Koran Ransalatapa.
Ransa, Tupsa Dapo,
Rang Kang de Toba, Kang de De Salatapa.
Yes, but what does that mean?
Chitan doima ne tapa te mang cheva thangbo ne tapa la che yore. Kama pa maju dorji yang doima ne tapa sa chete doisa la tapa. Mubo kande che na rangsa la tapa la sumpa ni. Tendreba mandrava.
No. Rangsa di chupsa tapa rebe.
Doisa se chiran pe tende yo.
No.
Chiran doisa to na chiran tapa re. Chiran kopcha ten de doga de yimba kaza tapa re.
No.
Re o te re. Nga chung kangpa na na sosu de doga.
So there is then this term stating that phenomena are pure from the very beginning, initially pure. There are then two different explanations of the meaning of this term. Generally, the meaning of the term Dömane Dakpa is pure from the very beginning, but according to the eighth Karmapa, Mikyo Dorje, it means pure in its own place. So Rinpoche says that if one thinks of this logically, the two explanations amount to the same. If something that is pure in its if something is pure in its own place, it amounts to that it is initially pure or pure from the very beginning. One could also relate the second explanation, namely that things are pure in their place, to a stream or continuity of moments, to a momentary nature. So each moment is then pure in itself. So from that point of view, each and every phenomenon is pure in its own place.
The karma pe mojo dorje doisa la tapa sonya te karra sana tango ne tapa re se te tapa joy na kheban da ho jiong se gore te mojo che te chik se na yin sa.
So Rinpoche says that maybe the eighth karmapa gave this second explanation on this term in order to counteract any type of attachment or conceptualization of a continuity that would originate with this primordial purity. If it's on the other hand stated that each and every phenomenon is pure in its own place relating to the momentary nature, namely that each and every moment is pure in itself, then that explanation would counteract attachment to or conceptualization of a continuity as real and solid, a continuity that would originate with primordial purity. So in brief then, both samsara and nirvana are primordially pure from the very beginning, or samsara is pure in its own place, nirvana is also pure in its own place, so in that respect they are the same. Then there is the seventh point in relation to sameness. So the sutra states that all phenomena are the same in that they are free from mental fabrications. So point 6 and 7 are more or less the same.
Dumba te tene trupen thadanta.
Ah, di dalwa yore.
Me tiñe le chepar se tu se.
Yini danda chikwata kore.
Parche chikwata kore.
So point 5 and 7 are more or less the same, though there are some differences to be distinguished. Point 5 was then that all phenomena are the same in that they are peace, isolated from or beyond mental fabrications. Then there is this seventh point stating that all phenomena are the same in that they are beyond or free from mental fabrications. So point 5 and 7 are more or less the same, though there are some differences. So this seventh sameness can then be related to the ultimate view of the Prasangika, Prasanga tradition. So in terms of the Svatantra tradition, then all mental fabrications are negated, whereafter the absence of mental fabrications is established as a viewpoint. On the other hand, in the Prasanga tradition, all mental fabrications are negated or refuted, but their absence is not established as a standpoint. So according to Jamgon Kongtul the First in his Treasury of Knowledge, then as was said, the Svatantra tradition negates or refutes mental fabrications, whereafter their absence is established as a viewpoint, whereas the Prasanga tradition only negates mental fabrications. This tradition, having negated mental fabrications, does not proceed to establish their absence as a standpoint. So, in brief, both the ultimate and relative or deceptive are the same in that they are empty, in that both are empty of mental fabrications. Then there is the eighth sameness or the eighth point in relation to sameness, and in the sutra it is then stated that all phenomena are the same or equal in that they are beyond adoption and rejection. So again, if one dreams of something very attractive and something very repulsive, one would try to adopt that which is attractive, and one would reject that which is repulsive. These differences then occur in dependence upon the conceptual mind. Again, from the viewpoint of the true nature of these objects, there are no differences ultimately. The objects are then beyond adoption and rejection. So that which is attractive and that which is repulsive, samsara, nirvana, and so forth, are all the same in that they are beyond adoption and rejection. So then in terms of the secret mantrayana, and in particular in terms of the Mahamudra and Mahaati systems, there are a lot of teachings that speak of what was just mentioned, namely that phenomena are beyond adoption and rejection. So obviously these teachings are related to the eighth sameness or the eighth point in relation to sameness. Then there is the ninth sameness or the ninth point in relation to sameness that states, or at this point then the sutra states that all phenomena are the same or equal in that they are dreamlike and illusion-like. So the sutra then says that all phenomena are the same or equal in that they are like a dream, an illusion, an imaginary object, an echo, a reflection of the moon in the water, an image, and an emanation. So this amounts to that all relative or deceptive appearances or phenomena are the same in that they are the inseparability of appearance and emptiness. Then there is the tenth sameness or the tenth point in relation to sameness, and the sutra then states at this point that all phenomena are the same or equal in that they are non-dual, there being no difference between a thing or a non-thing. So it's only for the conceptual mind that there are differences such as a thing or a non-thing, or differences with respect to a thing and a non-thing. Ultimately, in terms of the true nature, these are non-dual. There is no such duality. So, relative or deceptive phenomena, in fact, are nothing but concepts. On a relative level, the mind then conceives of things. Then there is the opposite, non-things. Non-things are also conceptual or mere concepts because they are posited in dependence upon things. These two, things and non-things, are mutually dependent. Therefore, both are concepts.
Tether chutam jejeran yin tether rabdu tokwana no yin jizun tembe zebe sanjo sembe sa tokwa ngundu jorba jizu tote hizong.
Then the sutra goes on to say that when that bodhisattva, the one that had perfected the path of the fifth bhumi, when that bodhisattva realizes this nature, that is sameness, then at that point, by his wisdom that is now very sharp, and by his patience that then accords with this wisdom or is related with this wisdom, then by that, the direct realization of the sixth bodhisattva bhumi is achieved.
So
So in brief then, a bodhisattva that has perfected the path of the fifth bhumi, the fifth level, that means that he has perfected the accumulation of merit in relation to the post-meditative phase, then that bodhisattva enters the sixth level in by way of the realization of the ten samenesses or the 10 points in relation to sameness. So the sixth bhumi is then related to the paramita of wisdom or superior knowledge. Chandrakirti has then related the sixth chapter to this bhumi, to this paramita, and Rinpoche will tomorrow explain a part from that chapter. So now we will meditate a bit.